Genesis 24:14-21. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, who was Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
I'll just stand right here. Thank you for the reading of the Lord's Word. Thank you, Margie, for the beautiful prayer. And I'm going to introduce our speaker today. She is a mentor that God sent into my life, who affirmed the call of God on my life to go to Bible school and to just be a true servant to the Lord and just to people. So I'd like to introduce to you Pastor Joan Miller. She's going to come and she's going to bring the word to us for today. She's my spiritual mother.
Praise God and good morning, Calvary. It is a joy to be back with you. I think it was, about a year ago I was here. Had a wonderful time. I'm so, so happy to be here. And happy birthday, Pastor Brian. God bless you with many, many more. Amen. Thank you. You heard the scripture reading. Thank you, Sister Lorna. Thank you. Always need some water. You heard the scripture reading, and it was speaking about an incredible young lady in the book of Genesis. Your theme today for this Mother's Day is making room for God. And when I thought of that, I thought of Rebekah. Having such a servant heart and being so open to God leading her. And so today, we're going to be looking at this mother, and we're going to be examining her sensitivity to the voice of God and God being able to lead her. You know, she had such an ability to know what God was saying and to follow it. The thing is, we are not told a whole lot about her early days, you know, her upbringing. We don't know where she developed that sensitivity. We don't know much about her parents and her upbringing. We just know about her at this incident at the well. The thing that struck me is she just was such an extraordinarily kind and thoughtful person. Because not only to give this stranger water, but to offer to draw water for his camels. You imagine how much water a camel drinks? And I am sure if he came bearing gifts and whatever, he probably had maybe at least 3 camels, right? And if he rode on a camel, maybe he had one for him and whoever servants he had. So we know she wasn't drawing water for one camel, okay? But she demonstrated such extraordinary kindness and thoughtfulness. And as I said, we don't know where she developed that. We don't know anything about her parenting. We don't know if there was any spiritual content, you know, in her upbringing. But clearly, she was able to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because Abraham's servant had just finished praying and saying, God, the young lady that comes to draw water, let her be the person for my master's son. Let her be the woman you choose as wife. And he made it so hard, he didn't say, let her give me water. He said, let her give me and let her draw water for my camels. Which he knew that was a stretch. That was something hard. You don't ask anybody to do that. And much more, ask a young lady, you know. This is not a man, this is a young lady. You're asking that she run back and forth from the well to water your camels. But the point I really want us to focus on is her sensitivity to the voice of God. Today, I want us to learn from Rebecca. What do I want us to learn from Rebecca? I want us to learn from Rebecca the importance of making room for God to speak to us and the importance of following God. She was not only willing to do what Abraham's servant asked, but she was willing to go beyond what is required and what would be just normal kindness. What a beautiful spirit of obedience and sensitivity. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us, mothers and would-be mothers. But let's look a little deeper at this woman that God chose to be the wife of Isaac and the mother of that generation through which Christ will come. Let's look at Rebecca's experiences and her choices, the choices she made as a mother. And let's see what lessons we can learn from her choices, her mistakes, her motherhood. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you will speak to us. I ask that you will reveal your heart to us. I ask, oh God, that you will touch every mother in this congregation. Touch these lips of clay and help me, oh God, with clarity to declare your word and let it find a resting place in all of our hearts as we seek to make room for you, for your purposes and your plans in our lives and the lives of our children. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first thing I noticed about Rebecca is that she had a willing heart and an open heart. When Abraham's servant Eliezer went back with her to her parents' home. You know, he explained why he was there, the purpose of his visit. He was looking for a wife for Isaac, his master's son, and Rebecca fit all the description. And he asked if she will go with him back to where Isaac was. Now, she don't know Isaac. She never met Isaac. They didn't have any dates. You know, never went out on a date. She don't know if he's a gentleman. She don't know if he's kind. She don't know if he has a crooked nose. You know, does he walk with a limp? Who is this guy? But somehow in her heart, she knew that this was what God wanted. And she went. Her brother said, hold on. You might think that my sister's the perfect wife for your master, but let her stay a few days with us before she go. You just met her yesterday. You want to take her today? Hold on. Not so quick. And then the mother said, let's ask her. And do you know, this young lady said, yes. If that's what God wants, I will go. Wow. And she left going to meet a man she had never met. That shows that she had so much confidence in God and God being able to lead her, to direct her, to guide her. Somehow she believed that God had a plan in her life. Excuse me. And that God was putting this together. As I said, we don't know where she developed that sensitivity and ability, you know, to follow the leading of God's Spirit. But she said yes. Even though her brother was objecting and her mother was objecting, she said, I will go. And she went. We find in the life of Rebecca, she had difficulty becoming pregnant. And here again, we see her attitude was pray and see God. And then she became pregnant. And in her pregnancy, she's having difficulties. Don't tell us what kind of difficulties, if she was having pains or terrible morning sickness, but she was having a difficult pregnancy. And what did she say? Let us inquire of the Lord why this is so. If God has given me this pregnancy, why is it so traumatic? I'm painting a picture for you to see her sensitivity to God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Along the way, she's sensitive. She's seeking God. We don't know how this developed. But we know this is the picture we have of a young lady that is very, very in tune with God and seeking God and making sure that she didn't make rash judgments, that she didn't just blow things off, that she sought the Lord and his guidance. And when she went and sought the Lord told her that she was going to have twin boys. Wow. She's going to have twin boys. And he told her something else. He said, the younger is going to be the leader, even though he is not the older. The younger is going to be the leader. I believe God was giving her insight into the future and preparing her to make wise decisions. She made room for God, and now God is giving her specific instructions. If she could follow instruction to not only give the man at the well water, but give his camels water. If she could follow instructions to leave and go after meeting this man just one day, if she, in the midst of a difficult pregnancy, could say, the thing I need to do is seek God, what's going on, why this is happening, what should be my attitude, how do I respond to this, you know that this was a young lady that was in tune with God. Would you agree with me? She wasn't fly by night just doing what she wanted. She sought the Lord. And because she had that open heart to the Lord, and she was making room for God, God gave her revelation knowledge about her children and the future of her children. You know, because she saw God, he gave her glimpses into the future. She found out what's the destiny of her child. I believe the reason God gave her this is because God wanted her not to be anxious. God wanted her start in the spirit, Rebecca, stay in the spirit. You know how easy it is for us to start trusting God, and then when things are not going the way we think it should go, we start helping God. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? It's easy to start in the spirit, but it's quite another thing to stay walking in the spirit, especially when things seem to be going out of order. And this is where we see a turn in Rebecca's life. Because once Rebecca found out, I believe God was letting her have a glimpse so he can say, don't be anxious. No matter what you see, don't be anxious. Just like you trust me at the well, trust me, I got the boys. But what happened? Rebecca start helping God with Jacob. And she helped God by thinking if she showed Jacob more favor than Esau, he'd become this great man of God. And all God wanted was, trust me, Rebecca, just trust me. Take your hand off. And how many times, mothers, fathers, we could see God's hand on our children. But the devil comes in and whisper and say, God tell you, but if you don't do something, this kid can go down the wrong road. You need to do something. And that's the time we need to go back to God and say, God, I don't understand. I know what you said. I believe what you said. Help me to trust you and not try to manipulate things so it work out the way you want it to work out. You know, you can't put a tight screw on God and say, turn, turn, turn. God's plan is God's plan. And I can guarantee you, sometimes it don't make sense. I have had so many times God tell me things, and I am like, this is crazy. This don't make any sense at all. I launch on the mission field, coming from Guyana to America. And didn't know where I'm going to live, how I'm going to be supported. I left my house that was paid off and furnished. I put a young man in the house and I said, once I know what's going on in America, I'll call you and let you know what I'm doing with the house. And I came to America, and you know what God did? Because I was willing to follow him, and I'm not going to tell you I follow him without trembling and questions. Had many questions to God. And God allowed a man in Louisiana to say, I hear that God has led you here, and I am going to pay your rent for 1 year. And I never saw that man until 3 years after. I never knew who paid the rent. I'm saying that to say Rebecca was in this same position. Leave your family, come and marry to Isaac, and then you have these children, and then you have these twins, and God said, this young one is the one I'm going to use. And then Rebecca started manipulating the plans of God. And out of that came favoritism, which is a difficult thing for families. Because even though you don't know it, the children know it. And instead of the brothers becoming comrades, they became competitors. Are you seeing what I'm showing you? She started in the spirit. She started sensitive to God. She started following God even when it seemed contrary and upside down and impossible. She did it. It didn't make sense to anybody else, but she did it because she knew in her heart this is what God was saying. And then her precious babies, I believe Rebecca loved Esau and she loved Jacob. But you know, it's something different when I am the one suffering, but don't touch my children. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to turn to a different kind of animal. You touch my children. Touch me. Say what you want about me. Treat me with disrespect. But my children, oh no, I'm going to have to ask God for special grace. Am I being truthful? This is where Rebecca's faith, instead of being anchored in God, became anchored in what she thought she could do for Jacob. And instead of helping Jacob to learn from his mother in the difficult times, that's where your faith becomes anchored in Jesus. I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus. Instead of letting Jacob learn that the way to move forward in the plan and will of God is abandoning your ways, your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, what you want, how you want, what you see, whatever adjective you want to add to that. Let God, who started guiding you, be the one who continues to guide you. And she didn't. So the competition began between Esau and Jacob. And what happened? Rebecca made a fatal mistake. Rebecca was on this side. She's in Jacob's camp. Isaac is on this side. He's on Esau's camp. And now the father is going to give the blessing. And the mother said, I heard your father talking to your brother that today he's going to give the blessing. And he told him to prepare a nice meal. You go get a kid of the goat from the pen, and I am going to prepare the meal. I know what he likes. I know how he likes it. I'm going to fix it the way he likes it. A little spicy, but not too spicy, you know, and everything. I know his favorite drink. I'm going to have it set up. And Isaac said, but my brother is hairy and I am smooth skin. Don't worry, I can fix you up. And my voice, what if he said, don't you worry, son, I got it. What she was sowing in her son is, don't trust God. Use your brains. Use trickery. Use whatever you can to get through and get by. And you know that's a recipe for disaster, because it's not going to stop with one act of deception. Once you start one, you're going to have to do another one and another one and another one. And it gets bigger and bigger and more dangerous. And that is what happened to Jacob. What a picture. What a different picture from what we saw, huh? In Genesis 42. Such a kind, caring woman that was so in tune with God and open to the voice of God. Now to this woman who is conniving and scheming and plotting to trick her husband in giving the blessing to the wrong son. Let me say this to you. What God has for your kids, no devil in hell can take it away. But you have to trust God. Because the devil is going to make like this ain't going to happen. All this money you spend on this kid, he look like he's going down. If God says he's not going down, he's not going down. Read my lips. But Rebecca used trickery. What happened? Jacob tricked his father. And this is the part that hurts me the most. Jacob tricked his father, gave him the meal, got the blessing, and then he had to run away from home. You did all this for your son to be a success, and then you lose him. She never get to see the success Jacob became. Jacob run to Uncle Laban. Huh? I have friends and I have sisters, and they make so much fuss over the grandchildren. Huh? I have a friend, she said, if I knew grandchildren were so wonderful, I'd have them before I had children. I said, how is that possible? How could that ever be possible? She said, oh my goodness. She said, you don't know. I just love my grandchildren. Oh my God. My grandchildren. All she talks is about the grandchildren. Huh? But I want you to, I'm saying that, I want you to think of this. She got Jacob to steal the birthright, and then he was on the run. He was on the run. He went to Uncle Laban, and what happened? What he sowed, he reaped. He used trickery. Uncle Laban used trickery. Eventually, he had to run from Uncle Laban. And he ran from Uncle Laban, and he's running from Uncle Laban, and Esau is coming, and he is caught in the middle. All that I did is turning out to be a disaster. Why? Because God does not need your help. He needs you to make room for God, to trust him when you cannot trace his logic, to surrender when surrendering seems like defeat, to give up when give up sounds like what losers do. If God says give up, give up. If God says trust him, trust him. If God is silent and you're not hearing anything and you don't know and you are afraid, because you are going to be afraid many times following God, follow God. Rebecca never saw her son again. Never saw her grandchildren. And Jacob was constantly fighting to succeed. Because every time he made two steps forward, he felt like he was being dragged backward. And he decided, I can't live this life anymore. I'm going back. And as he went back, what happened? He heard Esau is coming. his greatest fear. My brother had vowed that when my father died, he's going to kill me for robbing him. You know what Jacob did? Huh? He put the servants with the children first. Huh? He put the least loved wife and her children, and then he put his favorite wife and her children. I want you to see what Jacob became, the man that God said, I have a special plan for. That he became such a schemer that he put his children to face his brother. He was the last in the pack. Everybody is in front, and Jacob is in the back, all by himself, thinking, if he come from that side and they scatter, I go in this side. If he come on this side and they scatter, I'm going that side. If he come in the middle, I could go here or there, but I am meeting him. And here what happened. In all his scheming, in the night, a man got a hold of him and started wrestling with him. Like this man is going to kill him. It's not Esau, but it's a man that he don't know. And he's fighting for his life. What God is doing in Jacob is what God wanted to do with Jacob in Rebekah's house. He wanted to make himself so known to Jacob that Jacob would learn to trust God, not because he's my mama's God, but because He is my God. Your children can't move forward because you know mommy's God. Or mama is going to pray. Or mama is going to help me out. You have to demonstrate and make room for God in your life and the way you live, that when your son is in difficulty, they will remember, this is how mama did it. This is how mama prayed. This is what happened when mama got on her knees. She didn't scheme and plan. She called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you are going to make room for God, you have to abandon your own ways, your own thoughts, your fears, whatever it is you think, and say, God, I don't know. I don't know how to handle this situation. You give me this child. I give him back to you at the altar in dedication. And today, I don't know if he's going east or he's going west. I don't know if he's going to be a success or a failure. But I give him back to you. Do you understand what I'm saying today? To make room for God is you got to take your hand off. And even if it don't look like it's going right, keep your hand off. Because if God can't change them, you can't change them. You know who changed Jacob? When Jacob wrestled with God, huh? In the night. And God kept saying, what's your name? He said, Jacob. What's your name? Jacob. What's your name? When he admit, I'm a cheat, I'm a liar, I'm a man who use deception and whatever I can to get by. I'm a man who take advantage of anyone I can take advantage of. I'm a man that do wrong and call it right. And when he was willing to confess who he was, on the inside, because he saw mama did it and she got what she wanted. And then God said, from today, I'm going to change your name. You're not going to be Jacob anymore. You're going to be what? Israel. You're going to be Israel because that's going to mean you have now moved from a supplanter, a cheater, a thief, to a prince with God. Which one of you, mothers, fathers, in this room, don't want your child to be a prince with God? Which one of you don't want your child to have such a relationship with God that don't matter what the circumstances look like, you know your child is going to run to God and trust in God and call on God and believe God for victory? Which one? I'm telling you, not one of you. That's what you want. But what God says, take your hands off. You understand? Taking your hands off look like, I can't leave him and let him fall. Take your hand off. If God can't change him, you can't. Want me to repeat that? If God can't change them, you cannot. And God loved them. And when you brought that baby and dedicated him at the altar, God took him. And since God took him, he's asking you today, take your hands off. Let God do what only God can do. Bow with me. Father, we want to make room for you. We don't want to do like Rebecca, Lord. We don't want to start in the spirit and end up in the flesh. We don't want anxiety and fear to cloud our judgment. We don't want, oh God, what we do create more problems. We want to be what you created us to be. The mothers that live a life that demonstrates trust in God, confidence in God, favor in God. Looking to you and not to our own understanding. Trust in you and not trusting our ability to fix things or orchestrate things the way we want them. Help us today. With your head bowed, your eyes closed. I want to pray for you today. If you say, Pastor Miller, I have a need for God to help me in a situation I am facing. Nobody needs to know the situations between you and God. Nobody's business but you and God. But you need prayer today that God will help you to make room for Him to intervene in whatever the situation is. Would you come meet me at the altar? I want to pray for you quickly. You want to make room for God. You want to ask God to take control of the situation. And I know He will. I know He cared about Rebecca. And I know He cares about you. And I know He loved your child more than you can ever love them. And a mother's love is amazing. But God wants to let you know He started and He's going to finish it. He's been with you and He's going to continue to be with you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to do anything. But understand, I will make room for God to work as He wants to work. Okay? Congregation, would you stretch your hand out? I'm going to ask with the Zoltan to come and sing as I pray with these wonderful ladies at the front.